So the cover of the bulletin, I felt like it was a little insulting when I pulled it out, and it says, Rich Fool. But this is the parable of the rich fool, and so hopefully we can be personal without taking that personally as I seem to this morning. Luke chapter 12, listen for a word from God for you. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But Jesus said to him, Friend, who set me up to be a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? And then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I cannot think about too much stuff without thinking about one of my favorite theologian philosophers who is gone, but it's George Carlin, who wrote a marvelous piece about stuff as being our national pastime. So with reverence, I read what Carlin said and wrote. That stuff is what this country is all about, trying to get more stuff. Stuff you don't want, stuff you don't need, stuff that's poorly made, stuff that's overpriced, even stuff you can't afford. Got to keep on getting more stuff. Otherwise, someone else might wind up with more stuff. Can't let that happen. Got to have the most stuff. So now you got a household of stuff. And even though you might like your house, you got to move, got to get a bigger house. Why? You got too much stuff. And that means you got to move all your stuff or maybe put some of your stuff in storage. Storage, imagine that. There's a whole industry based on keeping an eye on other people's stuff. Or maybe you could sell some of your stuff, have a yard sale, have a garage sale. Some people drive around all weekend just looking for garage sales. They don't have enough of their own stuff. They want to buy other people's stuff. That's stuff. When we lived outside of Nashville, and like many subdivisions, we had 2 yard sales a year, and people would come from as far away as other states to drive in and go through our neighborhood. Problem was, they would back up our street, and we had soccer on those Saturdays, and to try and get out of my driveway with my kids and get to soccer practice was rough, especially because as soon as you open the garage, this group of people would come in and start looking at my stuff. That's my stuff. Hungry people tend to satisfy or try to satisfy our hunger with something more, but it turns out it's not satisfying. The man in the story was afraid, and he thought if he just got enough, he could be satisfied. And so he had a number in his head. That's what you do with a barn. And the number was bigger than his barn, so he made new barns. He wanted more. But he didn't get what was important. He didn't really connect to life. He connected to stuff. Because you notice this is a barn, and what's the barn full of? It's full of grain. And what do you do with grain? Grain seeds. You plant it and you grow more. The power was not in the stored barn. The power was in the seed. The power was in life. But when you shove it in a hole and you put it in a closet, that life can't grow. There's no sun. There's no exposure. There's no connection. And that's what happens when we get caught up in stuff. Richard Foster wrote this. He says, because we lack a divine center, our need for security has led us to an insane attachment to things. We really must understand that the lust for affluence in contemporary society is psychotic. It's psychotic because it has completely lost touch with reality. We crave things we neither need nor enjoy. We buy things we do not want to impress people we do not like. Where planned adolescence leaves off, psychological obsolescence takes over. We're made to feel ashamed to wear clothes or drive cars until they're worn out. The mass media have convinced us that to be out of step with fashion is to be out of step with reality. It's time we awaken to the fact that conformity to a sick society is to be sick. Until we see how unbalanced our culture has become at this point, we will not be able to deal with this mammon spirit or with ourselves, nor will we desire Christian simplicity. This psychosis permeates even our mythology. The modern hero is the poor boy who purposefully becomes rich rather than the rich boy who voluntarily becomes poor. Hannah Salwin is an Atlanta girl who was driving around and saw someone who was homeless, and she joked halfingly with our father saying, you know, we don't need this big a house. We could sell it and do something cool with it. And they did. They cut their stuff in half. Now, they're still far richer by average, but they were able to do some wonderful stuff. And that's a local high school, once high school age girl who came up with this leadership and driver for her family. She saw the difference between the things in the world and the potential of each human life. William Sloan Coffin said it this way, there are people and there are things in this world, and people are to be loved and things are to be used. And it's increasingly important that we love people and use things, for there's so much in our gadget-minded, consumer-oriented society that is encouraging us to love things and use people. This guy with the barns, he had grain, but what he didn't have was connection. He didn't know when he had enough, and so he kept going on and on and on. Today, if we want more, we don't have to even leave our homes. You just pull it up on your phone or computer or somebody else's phone or computer, and you shop. See, it used to be that back in the day, you needed something, figured out how to you were going to pay for it, and then you went and got it. Now you don't know what you need until you go and start looking and you go, oh yeah, I gotta have that. And then you buy it, and then, if forced to, figure out how to pay for it. That's a lack of a compass, not knowing where you're going. This man comes to Jesus and says, hey, I need you to settle a family problem for me. And apparently there are some things that not even Jesus could do. He wasn't going to touch it. But he did tell him this story, which raises the question of, do you not see what you have? Not just what you have, but where the power is. And the power is in life. Because seed grows exponentially. And if you're not paying attention, you'll cherish what you think your life should be like, and lose the very lives that are around you. Tony Campolo tells this story, and I want to make sure you pay attention. This is about an expectation of what he thought family was supposed to look like, and he missed the family in front of him. Tony says, there was a little boy named Mike when he was a toddler. He wanted a sandbox, and his mother said, oh, that'll be good, but his father said, there goes the backyard. There'll be sand all over the place and it'll kill the grass. Little boy's mother smiled and said, the grass will grow back. Mike was 5. He wanted a jungle gym that would enable him to climb into the sky and swings that would take his breath away. Man, we put that thing in the backyard. Every kid in the neighborhood will be over here and they'll run back and forth, and they'll kill the grass. Mike's mother smiled and said, the grass will grow back. Between breaths, as he was blowing up the plastic swimming pool, Mike's father said, you know what? They're going to condemn this place and make it into a missile site. You won't be able to take the garbage out without coming back with mud up to your neck. It's going to kill the grass. And mother said, the grass will grow back. Mike was 12. He volunteered his yard for a camp out. And then he put a basketball hoop on the side of the garage, and there was a bigger crowd, bigger than the Summer Olympics. And there was a barren spot on the side of the yard. Grass kept dying away. Until one day, Mike's father looked out into the yard and saw how empty it was and said, "He'll come back, won't he?" You got potential. You got life. You got life around you. It's my job to point that out to you. It's my job to tell you where it is. When I came, they said, "Hey, we need children." Sounds a little scary, especially to a parent. Just want to tell you, there's 12 new families in the preschool. I want to tell you that our scouts from Still went over to Still Elementary School this week and invited students to come and join our scout program. We got 21 new scouts signed up for our scout program this week. Now you look around you, they're not in here. I'll tell you a little secret. They ain't far. You gotta decide if you're going to be a legacy church or community church, because there's life all around you, and this is not a barn. Let us pray. God, you've given us the potential for life and new life and life that grows exponentially. Help us to tap into that power, because in doing so, we'll know your kingdom and not our kingdom. As one who didn't have a house, a home, a shelter, a 401k, or an IRA, you call us to go forward and touch that power that grows bigger than we could ever imagine. Help us to encounter each person you put on our path. And in doing so, we will find ourselves people of your kingdom. For that's why we've come, that's why we've gathered, and that's why we lift our voices, praying as we were taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen.